focus on your breathing. Please focus on your body. Focus on you. Remind yourself that you are not your ego. You are not your ego. You are not your frightening thoughts. You are not the thoughts and feelings that upset you. You are not the thoughts and feelings that upset you. There's another you in you that kind of looks with amusement at all the various ways we try to fool ourselves into thinking that we are alone or not powerful. Changes automatically as you change your consciousness. changes. Your outer reality changes automatically as you change your consciousness. Your outer reality will change automatically. You are the light of the world. Forgiveness is your function as the light of the world. Seeing yourself correctly is your function as the light of the world. Allowing yourself to forgive yourself, allowing yourself to let go of the past, allowing yourself to let go of any grievances that you have against yourself. Grievances block your miracles. Grievances, they block your miracles. Let go of your grievances by seeing your grievances as a call for love. See your fear as a call for love. See your frustration as a call for love. See your anger as a call for love. See your sickness as a call for love. See your depression as a call for love. Seeing it lack as a call for love. See any negative feeling or emotion as you define it as a call for love, a call for God. Some of you may have intense, powerful calls for love happening right now. Intense calls for God. With yourself. Don't take out that psychic sledgehammer and beat yourself up because you're not doing it good enough, because you're not doing it good enough, because you're not being as loving as you think you should. Don't beat yourself up because you lost your temper this morning. Don't beat yourself up because you feel afraid. Don't beat yourself up because you can't always be perfect in your perception of yourself. The thought I want you to take with you, if you take no other thought today, is this one. Readiness is not mastery. Readiness is not mastery. Just because you're ready to become more loving, to become more peaceful, to become more patient, to become more prosperous, that doesn't mean you mastered it at all. So getting upset with yourself because you haven't mastered something that you've just become ready to even entertain is ridiculous. It's ridiculous to expect yourself to let go of the blocks to your peace and your prosperity, but already think you should be there. There would be no point if you already had your act totally together. So, be gentle with yourself. Give yourself permission to mess up, to screw up, to not always do it right, because you won't. You will not always be able to pull off peace in every situation. You will not always feel good. Everything is not going to go right all the time just because you're trying to learn how to be more spiritually aware. Just because you're studying the course doesn't mean that you're not going to have some stuff happen that's going to freak you out sometimes. Just because you're on your spiritual path doesn't mean that every day is going to be all sweet and sweetness and light. But if you start applying the truth, you're going to find that you're going to gradually start to see an incredible improvement in your ability to keep your peace of mind in the face of upsetting situations. You need your learning the most in situations that seem to be the most upsetting. And that's when you're most likely to want to chunk it, not do it, not practice it, is when you're most upset. Most of us are spiritual masters as long as it looks like our script is being acted out. And it looks like things are going the way we want them to go. Then we are just the ultimate of true students. but let something come up unexpected. And all of a sudden, truth what? So if you cannot get upset with yourself about getting upset, stop getting upset with yourself about getting upset. Stop getting upset with yourself about getting upset. Stop getting upset with yourself about getting upset. Stop getting angry with yourself about getting angry. Stop feeling depressed about getting depressed. And understand, my depression is a call for love. My anger is a call for God. My sadness is a call for God. My nervousness is a call for God. This illness is a call for God. This job is a call for God. My car is a call for God. My weight is a call for God. My house is a call for God. Anything that I think I'm upset about, I'll just see it as a prayer. And all of a sudden, I am actually praying all day. I'm the ultimate in a spiritual student. Everything that comes out of my mouth is a prayer. Everything in my mind is a prayer. It's a call for help. So I'm going to do a very deep prayer. It's very complicated that I like to share. Goes something like this. Help me, God, help me. 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 Help me, God. Thank you.
Good meditation. Wow.
Thank you. Okay, so we're looking for your message. Even if you don't understand what you hear today, even if you don't understand, remember, my classes are not about agreeing with what we hear or even understanding everything we hear. Your inner self has a message that it wants to give to you. Your inner self has a message it wants to give to you. Something that you hear today may be that message. So it doesn't matter. If you just walk out with one sentence that clicks for you, that might be the sentence that's going to turn your whole experience around. So it's not about remembering everything you hear or even understanding everything you hear. It's about, what is the message that comes to me right now today about this situation that's got me upset? So, if there's anybody that's upset about anything in any kind of way, please raise your hand. Even if you didn't raise your hand, you know you should have. Okay. Because if you had total peace in every area, you'd probably be levitating around the room. So I personally don't believe that you have complete peace in every area of your life, even if you didn't raise your hand. Okay. Okay. Now, what we want to say then, according to the course, what we want to say then is this. I am never upset for the reason I think. What? I am never upset for the reason I think. I am never upset for the reason I think. I am upset because I see something that is not there. I am upset because I see something that is not there. What is the something that I see that is not there? The past. What kind of past? My past learning. I'm really upset because of my past learning. Because it's my past learning that's upsetting me and not the situation that I think I'm upset about. Because there are people that's in the same situation and they're not upset. There are people that have things that happen to them that freak them out, that could freak them out, that they choose not to get upset about. You know what I'm saying? Like someone gets hit by a car and they land on the side of the road. There's some people that are running and go, oh my God, be tripping. Oh my God, that just happened, jumping up and down. And you land down there all messed up. And please don't help me. Please don't help me. Stay away. You know, because what you looking for? You're looking for the person that will walk up and very calmly and say, everybody be quiet right here. Just take a breath. We're going to call the ambulance. You're looking. So there's another person coming up in the same situation and they're not reacting the way you're reacting. So I don't care what's going on in your life that's upsetting you right now. It's you that's upsetting yourself about it. And that's happening because of the way you learn to react to things in the past. So what's upsetting you is your past learning and not the situation that you think is upsetting you. When you think the situation is upsetting you, then you get the erroneous belief that when you change that situation, then you will be happy. Okay? And you all know that's a lie. Because you've all had situations that was troubling you, and as soon as you got the situation healed, you went to another situation that was troubling you and started to worry about that one. So the whole idea that as soon as this thing is solved, then I'll be really happy, we know is a bunch of bull. That is not true. You know what you're going to do. You're going to change illusions that's bothering you. As soon as I get my relationships problem solved, then I have a financial problem pop up. As soon as I get my financial problem solved, then I get laid off at work. As soon as I find another job, then I get a backache. As soon as I get the backache down, then my car stops running. Y'all know, everybody's been on the planet knows exactly what I'm talking about. So the thing we want to keep in mind then is that whatever I'm upset about right now, it has absolutely nothing to do with the situation, circumstance, or person that I think is upsetting me. What's upsetting me is my interpretation of the situation. What is upsetting me is what?
My interpretation of the situation.
The reason I like to do stuff, we get a response because sometimes things stick with us more when we pull it back out of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So what's upsetting me? My interpretation of the situation. What's got me mad? My interpretation of the situation. What's got me upset about that person? My interpretation of the person. What's got me upset about that person? My interpretation of the person. It's not my mama that's upsetting me. It's my interpretation of my mama based on what I learned in the past about my mama. I was raised in a family of seven. It was seven of us. And we had seven different mamas. Yep. Every one of my brothers and sisters had a different interpretation of my mother. And had a different experience of my mother. So who was my mother?
The person in your mind.
The person in my mind. My mama is in my mind. And I'm reacting to my mama from what I'm telling myself about my mama in my mind. Yeah. Okay, so whatever's bothering you right now, if you want to get empowered in that situation, you want to tell yourself that it's my interpretation that's determining how I feel. It's my interpretation that's determining how I feel right now. Whew.
Okay, we're going to do the dynamics of the ego on page 202 in the text. The dynamics of the part of me that kicks my butt. We're going to talk about the dynamics of the part of us that creates our fear. We're going to talk about how the ego operates, how the part of us that keeps us upset operates. Because if we understand the dynamics of the ego, that's the best way in the world to keep the fear from happening and to keep the ego from happening. So we're going to talk about how does the ego operate. How does the part of me that keeps me upset operate so I can stop being upset all the time? That's a worthwhile goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, I want you to think about the Course in Miracles calls whatever it is that's upsetting us an illusion. It's an illusion because whatever it is not permanent. And whatever it is was not created by love. And whatever it is was not created by God. Whatever it is that's upsetting you, God didn't do it. And whatever test you're going to, God ain't testing you. No such thing as God testing us. Why test us if an infinite intelligence already knows what we're capable of?
Yeah.
Stupid. It wouldn't make much sense to test me if it already knows everything about me. So whatever is going on in your life right now, that's not God testing you to see if you can handle it. If you're unhappy about something right now, according to the Course, what's happening is, what you're creating is a defense against the truth. It's something that you come up with to try to convince yourself that the truth doesn't work or that love isn't real. There's a part of us that doesn't believe that love is real, that doesn't believe that trust is real, that doesn't believe that spirit is real. Because if we did, we would all be loving and trusting each other. So obviously there's a part of my mind that doesn't trust, so I wouldn't be so blasted suspicious. So the part of us that's suspicious will try to teach us that there is justification for our suspicion so that we can keep the part of us that's suspicious and afraid. So the part of you that's afraid, look at it just for the sake of this class, as if it's a real person. Like it's a real being. Okay? So I call it Earl's ego. Earl's ego don't believe it can trust anybody in here, that all we have is bargains, and as soon as I don't do something you don't like, then you're going to judge and condemn me. That you're going to love me as long as I act right. My ego is afraid of you because it doesn't know what you're going to do. My ego believes in competition. There's not enough. So I got to make sure that I really stand out and I get my share. We got competition going on here. My ego is the part of me that believes I'm impermanent. I can go out there and get flattened by a truck. My ego is a part of me that believes that I die, that I can get sick, that I can catch a cold, that God is a beautiful fairy tale. But it's really me out here, self-sufficient, on my own. I got to try to make it by my own wits. I'm out here on my own. That's the ego part of me. It's the one that's in the world, by itself, trying to make it. Anybody familiar with that part of the mind? Everybody got that part?
Yeah.
All right. That part of you does not want to leave you. It will want to defend its reality. It will want to keep its existence going. So when you get in this truth stuff and you go, you know, I'm ready to be loving. I'm ready to be open. I'm ready to be caring. I'm ready to share. I want to love everybody. I want to know God. Your ego mind goes, yeah, right. I'm going to show you. Matter of fact, you don't even deserve that good stuff you're talking about because I remember everything you've ever done that's ever offended me. You don't even deserve to have a wonderful relationship. And I'm going to show you that you don't. And the mere fact that you even think you deserve to have a wonderful relationship means that you're a bigger liar than I thought you were. And I'm going to show you you don't deserve it. So the part of me that doesn't love me, it's going to be on the lookout for everybody who can give me a hard time. And it's going to overlook everybody that loves me. So there's a part of me that overlooks love, that loves drama and conflict. And then there's another part of me that overlooks drama and conflict and fear and sees only what I deserve and only sees my power and only sees my strength. So there's a part of you, the Course says, that is totally focused on your good and the love and the beauty and the incredible experiences you deserve. And then there's another part of your mind that believes you deserve to die for what you've done. You're just no good. All right? You're just no good. And then there's another part of the mind, which you could call us, that's trying to decide which one of those parts of the mind it wants to side with. So there's a part of you that absolutely sure you do not deserve to be happy. There's another part of you that's absolutely sure you do. And then there's another part of your mind that thinks it has to decide which one of those it deserves. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Course in Miracles is trying to do what? Get us to side with the part of us that loves us. Even though we may not have as many witnesses to that part of us as we do to the other one. Why? Because we side instantly with the negative and we doubt the positive. Somebody says you really can't trust people. The part of the man goes, you know you're right. Life is hard. You're right. Things don't look right for me. You're right. See, there's a part of me that just sides with the negative, right? So as soon as I side with the negative, I create it. Because there's no opposition to it. There's nothing to stop it from manifesting because I could have said, no, I deserve better than what I'm telling myself I deserve. So I'm not going to side with that idea that I don't deserve loving relationships. But as soon as I go, you're right, I really can't have really loving relationships. It never works out for me. Well, then I side with the part of my mind that says I don't deserve it, and so I manifest it. And that's why it seems like the negative stuff, according to the Course, manifests faster than the positive stuff. Because the loving stuff we meet with suspicion, but the negative stuff we go right into siding with. And so it looks like the negative stuff manifests easier than the positive stuff. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell you I love you, you're suspicious. But if I act like I'm untrustworthy, then that's just human nature. You see? All right, so I side with the negative, and I'm suspicious of the positive, yet I am totally shocked that the positive doesn't manifest. But I'm never siding with it.
Yeah.
It's just supposed to just show up, overpower me, and then I'll just be for it. All of a sudden, everything just gets so good, I just change my mind. Okay, got it? You with me? We'll keep on checking it. Okay, so if there's a problem, if there's an illusion, the Course says no one can escape from illusions unless they look at them. Because the way you protect the thing that's limiting you, the Course says, is by not looking at it. And so most people don't like to look at their shadow side. They love to pretend that their shadow does not exist. And in pretending that the shadow does not exist, you protect it.
Yeah.
Not looking at your fear is how you keep it going. Not looking at the anger is how you keep it going. Not looking at the depression is how you keep it going. Not looking at it is really the way you keep it going. And the positive way, the regular way that positive thinking is used is just that. I deny my fear, and all I do is say, I just love everybody. Everything is just great. So I'm not looking at my illusion, so therefore I keep it going. I got this big old stool thought, but I'm not going to look at it because if I look at it, that's negative. And look at it like a spotlight. Your negative thought that you're denying, the fear that you're denying, is like a spotlight behind you that you don't see why you're creating it and you don't see how you're creating it. And so you're constantly battling with the outer, not realizing that the projection of it is in your own mind because you love everybody. So the part of you that's still very PO'd, very angry, very insecure, still hasn't forgiven what happened to you when you were a child, is projecting fearful circumstances in your life. You're pretending you don't have any of those thoughts, and so it's happening to you, but you don't know where it's coming from because you are such a nice person. Got it?
Yeah.
So one of the hardest parts on the spiritual path is when you realize it's you hate. And it's you that's creating the stuff that's really upsetting you. And it's in your own mind. So the Course says that there is no need to shrink from your illusions because the truth is your illusion cannot be dangerous because you are an unlimited spiritual being that cannot be hurt. Whew. I want you to be with that for a second. You are non-physical. You are non-physical. Your true identity is so large it cannot be contained within your body. So who is it that's looking out of the eyes of the body? The Course says, well, what's looking out of your body is your ego. Your ego actually lives in your body. Your body is your ego's home. So when I look at you, that's really my ego looking at you. My real self never gets involved with my folly. My real self is total love. My real self only loves. My real self is in touch with God. My phony self is hung up on everything around me. And guess what? It's using its conflict to prove it exists. You're using all the stuff you're going through in order to witness to the fact that you have a separate identity that's an ego identity. Without the conflict, you wouldn't even have your separate identity. That's deep. That's deep, man. Think about it. The part of me that thinks it's separate from God, the part of me that thinks it's separate from love, the part of me that doesn't love me, that still wants to exist, has to distract my attention with all the crap that is creating for me in order for me to believe that part of me is me. Because I'm feeling all the conflict that that part of me is giving me, so that part of me must be me. And so we need someone to come into our lives, just like we're doing right now, to remind us that you are not your ego. You are not your fear. You are not your worry. You are not your sickness. You are not your body. You have one. So, the Course says we're ready to look more closely at the ego's thought system, because together we have the lamp that will dispel our ego thought system. And since you realize you don't want your fear, you must be ready. So how do you know when you're ready? When you realize you don't want it. So let us be very calm in what doing this, for we are merely looking honestly for truth. The dynamics of the ego will be our lesson for a while, for we must first look at it to see beyond it. Since you have made it real, you have to look at it before you can go beyond it. Since I've made my fear real, I need to look at my fear before I can go beyond my fear. Since I've made my lack real, I have to look at it before I go beyond it. So we're going to undo this error quietly together. We're going to look beyond what we think about ourselves to the truth. Okay, so what's the key sentence in that paragraph? How do we get past our ego? To look at it. How do I get past my fear? To look at it. And since I'm already upset, I'm obviously focusing on it, so why don't I just go ahead and look at it? But why don't I tell the truth about it and say, this is a trick to make me think I'm not loved. This is a trick to make me think that God isn't real. This is a trick to make me think that I can't be happy. This is a trick to make me think that my life is supposed to be a whole bunch of crap that I'm dealing with all the time. This is a trick. My financial situation, if it's causing me pain, is a trick. My body, if it's sick right now, that's a trick. If I'm having a lot of problems in my relationship right now, that's a trick to make me think I can't have a peaceful relationship and that I can't have love in my life, because the part of me that believes in conflict and the part of me that believes I don't deserve to be loved is trying to create witnesses to that idea. So all I'm looking at is the witness that I've made up to the idea that I don't deserve to be happy. The problem is the witness I made up to prove to me I don't deserve to be happy. So if I don't think I deserve to be happy, I form relationships with people who I constantly conflict with, which witnesses that I don't deserve to be happy. If I think I don't deserve to be happy, I create a financial situation that doesn't give me peace, because that proves I don't deserve to be happy. So if I don't love myself, I'm looking for witnesses to my ego. And I'm overlooking every loving thing that happens to me all day long. That's deep.
Yeah.
That is deep, 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 deep.
That's kind of hard to hear.
Of course it is. That's what I love about Course in Miracles students, because Course in Miracles students, they're ready to look at their illusions and go beyond them. You know. Contact list. If you haven't signed it, please put your name and phone number, email especially. And please, Trent. Sometimes I have just a little bit of problem understanding somebody writing. Please, print. Okay. Any questions about paragraph one? Yes, Jules.
Okay. The more I feel that I'm
No, the more that I'm becoming that truth, the more that I'm walking the walk of that truth in my life, you're absolutely right. Well, I'm trying to reiterate what you said. It's like that darkness and that fear is pulling back. I'm starting to notice that when I feel good about myself, and it's really truly humility, it's really just like accepting the beauty or accepting the positive attributes. This may be something I'm manifesting. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm getting a reaction that I'm coming across as like it's putting other people off. The more I feel good, the more upbeat, the more I start to see the good in things. And does that?
Well, because it's the same thing. I kind of love myself now, right?
Uh-huh.
But there's a part of me that doesn't believe that I deserve to have that peace. And so, therefore, I generate that reflection back from the people around me to stop me from going forward. It doesn't matter how the trick looks. It's the same
thing. Just going off and just be me?
Yeah, be you. Because it's only by being yourself that you'll ever draw the people to you who love you the way you are and who need you the way you are. But if you think you got to get the approval of everybody along the way while you're doing that, and everybody around you has to respond in a beautiful way, then that's going to be a trick to stop you in your pursuit of being who you really are.
Right. So
at the very beginning, what other people think of you is not your business.
I know that.
What other people think of you is not your business. So if you make their responding to you a certain way important to you in order for you to be yourself, then you're right back again giving your power away.
Exactly. So just be me and let it go.
Yeah, because who cannot accept you for yourself? They're going to fade out of your experience anyway. You don't even have to put anybody out. I've never had to put anybody out of my life, but I don't have anybody in my life giving me a hard time.
Okay.
When I say I don't have anybody in my life giving me a hard time, I mean I don't have anybody in my life giving me a hard time. Nobody. Zilch. Not a relative, not a sister, not a brother, not a cousin, nobody. There's absolutely no one in my life that is opposing me in any kind of way whatsoever.
Okay, but I'm just being honest. It's difficult when you start to see that, you know what, there's some people that don't want to see.
Forget people.
Yeah.
Forget family.
Okay.
Supplied in the Bible. Your family will change automatically as you change. As soon as you change, they're changed. I'm telling you, 25 years of teaching this, 25 years of working with people, trust me, the biggest trick that people go through is, what about if somebody else, blah, 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 blah. What about if my family, blah, blah, blah. Are you attacking your family? No. Are you putting your family down? No. What are you doing? Your crime is you're choosing to be yourself.
Yeah.
That is no crime. That you don't have to justify that. You don't have to explain that. But because those people were such a part of your childhood, then you have that ego that I was telling you about, right? That ego that has been built up around what they have experienced with you, what you have experienced with them, and that part of you is trying to defend itself by making you need their approval in order for you to be yourself. But it is a trick. 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 Your family will be the last ones. So let them be at the end of the line. Put them at the end of the line. They need you to be however they think you need to be for them to feel like they know you. See, they know you according to what they've learned about you. And when you change, then they don't know how to relate to that. So they have to keep you the same way they think you are so that they can relate to you. But that's not your challenge. Your challenge is to be so centered in your truth, to know that you deserve the love, for you to give what you want to receive to the point that you won't let anything around you stop you on your mission. And your mission right now is to love yourself so much that the acceptance of the love of yourself will radiate out from you and bless everybody around you and bring love into your life. Because the Course says your acceptance of the truth for yourself creates a radiance that blesses those people that love is going to send to you. Because love, the Creator, is going to send to you the people who need you just the way you are. The people who don't need you the way you are the ones you are choosing. Everybody that doesn't go through the change, that's somebody you chose. Think about it. All the people that you're probably trying to get, like people say, well, what about my family? What about my family? Are you attacking your family? No. Are you cussing your family out? No. Are you putting anybody in your family down? No. So you aren't doing anything to your family just by being yourself. But again, the outer is a reflection of the inner, so therefore they will accept you as you accept yourself. You will see your own acceptance happen. But since it's such an internal matter, you won't see that until you do that. So in the beginning, you have to let go of your need to have a witness before you yourself have created the projection. It's just like this. You know, until I project the love, I don't see it. Right? But I'm walking around looking for the love that I'm not projecting. I'm looking for the love that I'm not extending, and then as soon as it shows up, I'm going to be a loving person. But I'm not extending any. You see? But if I'm extending it, I'm going to start to see it. And I'm going to start experiencing it because I'm loving me. I'm loving me. And that's going to attract it to me. From me loving me. But I got to be smart enough to realize that there's a part of me that doesn't love me, and that part of me is going to try to make me think that what I'm trying to do isn't going to work. So what do? I surround myself with people who also want to love themselves too, so that we can go through that process together, which is awesome. Because it's hard to do it alone, because that old thought system is so solid and so big that it's easy to suck you back into that old way of looking at things. But what's the first thing that happens when we get upset? We want to isolate. Yeah. Okay, because if I isolate, my ego has me all to itself without anybody to give me an alternative viewpoint. So that's why when people get upset, they separate. Like when people go into a lot of hell, that's when they won't come to the class. They'll go, well, let me stay at home and deal with my issue. And then when I feel good, then I come back and join. That is so backwards. It's when you're most afraid, most gone crazy, that you need to have somebody around you telling you that what you're going through is not real. But the ego is just the opposite of truth. So it's going to always say, isolate, isolate. Go off by yourself. And then somehow or another you're going to feel better if you give yourself nonstop crap without any intervention of truth. And so all of a sudden, you're just going to start feeling so much better. It's like, don't fall for it. You know what I'm saying? Don't fall for it. You know, hit that. Put somebody on speed dial. You feel your ego coming down. You hit that number. Help me! Help me! My ego is telling me I'm no good. Don't tell me! Just tell me that I'm innocent, you know. And I've gotten calls like that in my lifetime where people say, just tell me the truth. Leave it on my voicemail. Just tell me the truth about myself. I need to hear something other than what I'm telling myself right now. And so when you're making this big transition that you're making right now and you're sincere about it, you really mean it, you're not jiving, well, of course your ego is going to really trip. So really one of the ways you can know that maybe you've gotten really sincere about loving yourself is that things seem like they're more chaotic than ever right now. So, you know, the biggest error that we make is to think, here we go, this is the way it works. There's dirt at the bottom of the cup. I'm pouring in the waters of truth, right? What's going to happen? All the dirt at the bottom of the cup is going to do what? It's going to rise, right? So there's going to be a period that all the water looks dirty, right? Because I've stirred it all up, right? If I keep putting the water in, what's going to happen to the dirt? It's going to go up and it's going to go over the side. Then what happens? Then I got a whole cup full of clear water. I have a consciousness that's all love. So you're pouring in the waters of truth, freaking out because now you've seen the dirty water of your fears and your ego in the past. Your ego says, well, the problem is, this is the truth. So when you get rid of the truth, then you won't be going through this because you weren't going through this before you hit the truth because the dirt was at the bottom of the cup. And it looked clear from the top, right? So when you're going through the biggest fears, when you need to pour the truth on the most, so that the waters of your ego, the dirt of the ego thought, will come on out faster and finally be gone. Now, if you stop, then the dirt settles back down to the bottom of the cup, the water looks clear, and you go, I'm so glad I got out of that Course in Miracles stuff, because when I got into that truth stuff, it looked like my life was going down the tube. And so then you have the illusion that the problem was your pursuit of the truth. Your ego is smiling because now you still have your ego thought back at the bottom of the cup, right? And that ego thought at the bottom of the cup that you're not aware of is what's creating the physical problems that you're meeting in your everyday life that you think you don't deserve. So then you go back to being a nice person with lots of crap happening to you. Yeah. The common description that most people feel like, they're just this really nice person that it looks like nothing is going through, but they don't know there's a lot of dirt at the bottom of your cup. A lot of it. And when you get into the truth, it's going to stir it up. So I would like to say to each and every one of you, if you are a sincere spiritual aspirant, you're going to be disoriented, you're going to be confused, and things are not going to make sense to you sometimes, and you're going to think you're going out of your cotton picking mind if you're doing it right. Okay, so if I think that I'm really applying the truth to myself, but I'm not going to go through any kind of disorientation and stress as a result of that, I am not being realistic on my spiritual path. Let go of the idea that every aspect of the spiritual path is supposed to feel good. Because it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. That old thought system is going to clash with that new thought system. You're going to be kind of like letting go of the old one, but haven't completely embraced the new one. And you're going to be disoriented and confused. But the cool part is you will not be in that period of disorientation as long as it took you to screw it up in the first place. The concept of reincarnation, you don't even know how many lifetimes you've been crazy. And so, you know, if it took you 20 years, that still would be nothing compared to how long you've existed in illusion. That would be nothing. And there would be a gradual improvement as you apply the truth. The part of your life that's causing the greatest pain is the part of your life where you're deceiving yourself the most and where you're not applying the truth. That's the part that's causing the pain. It's where I'm not applying the truth. Where I'm applying the truth is where I think I'm happy, and where I'm not applying the truth is where I see the problem that won't go away. Even though I think I'm applying the truth, but the truth is, I'm thinking about applying the truth. Yeah. I'm philosophizing. I'm analyzing. But I haven't actually applied it. Which is deep. Which is deep.
What about when you're going through the chaotic stuff and then it kind of affects the people around you?
No more affect the people around you, folks. No more. Not another question about the people around you. Forget the people around you. Forget the people around you. Forget them. Am I clear? Forget the people around you. The people around you are witnessing back your doubts about what you are doing. They are merely witnessing back to you your own lack of belief in what you're doing because it's new to you, and so they're reflecting back your own subconscious doubts. That's all they're doing. Their resistance to you is your resistance to your own change. And when you look at it that way, it will change. But the minute you go, look at it this way. It's not like you're saying, I'm a truth student. Get the hell out of my house. I'm tired of your stuff. Get the heck out of my life. You're not saying that at all. If anything, you're coming home wanting to be more compassionate, more understanding, and more patient. So if they're having a hard time with you becoming more loving, that's not your problem. It's not like you came home and hit somebody upside the head with a skillet. So if you're being more loving and the people around you are tripping, that's not your problem. Why are you looking at it the way you're looking at it? Because you learned to. Why are they looking at it the way they're looking at it?
Because they learned to.
So they're going to have to do the same thing you're doing. They're going to have to change their mind to see what you're doing differently from the external plane. Yeah. From the internal plane, as you change, they will appear to change, or you won't care because your peace will not be given up regardless of what they're doing. Those are going to be the two choices. Either you're going to change, or I'm not going to be affected by your change because I'm centered in myself. You're not being selfish by loving yourself. You're not being selfish by honoring yourself. You're not being selfish by wanting to be yourself. That is nothing you have to justify. That's nothing you have to make excuses for. There's nothing you have to get anybody's okay about. Is it okay for me to be who I am? Is it okay, Mama, for me to be who I am? If Mama needs me the way I am because that takes care of a need that Mama has, one of my favorite lines in the course is this. This would be a great one that I can blaze somewhere. It says, no one with a personal investment is a reliable witness.
Yeah. That's true.
No one with a personal investment is a reliable witness. If I have a personal investment in you being the way you are, I am not going to be a reliable witness to the change you're trying to make because I'm going to be looking out for my interest. You know, you're in a relationship and you get a job offer to move to Alaska, you think your partner is going to be jumping up and down if they're going to stay here. They got a personal investment in you being here. They're not. That's why sometimes we get better advice from people on an airplane than the people we know. Because the people on the airplane could care less. They have no personal investment in what they're saying to you. But what do? We usually go to the people who have the deepest personal investment in us for advice. The person is least able to be objective is who we go to. That's what I'm saying. You're making a change. You're looking for your family to be the first one to go, okay, wonderful, great. No. They're the last ones you should look to say, okay. And if they do, that's great. Because let's face it, they're not the people you spend the most time with anyway. When you really think about it, most of your time is spent with your special relationships and your friends. Not usually your family.
And your coworkers.
Check it out. So side with me and siding with you and feeling okay about being who you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right? Can we get one Super Bowl scream? For all the frustration that your ego is trying to make you feel about something, one more time.
Lost my voice.
Wow!
So if you're with your family and your family's tripping, this is what you do. You breathe and shut up.
Yeah.
You breathe and shut up. You do not try to explain Course in Miracles principles. You're going to sound crazy even to yourself. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. It makes perfect sense if you try to tell it to somebody, then you wonder if you're crazy yourself. Is that right?
Yes.
Standing here waiting. Oh.
So what you want to do right now, in this moment, is don't repress your ego. Don't pretend that your ego doesn't exist. It's not about repressing. What you do is you let it talk to you. You let it say its thing. You let it say whatever it is it's saying to you. But your goal is not to allow it to direct your actions. To not let it direct your actions. Yes, I feel angry. Yes, I feel depressed. Yes, I feel afraid. Yes, I feel my shadow side. Yes, I feel my hatred for my daddy that goes back 100 years. I feel it. I feel it. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to look at it. I'm not going to pretend that it's not there. I'm going to admit that it's there. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to feel it. But I'm not going to let it direct me to pick up a knife. And I'm not going to let it direct me to pick up a gun. And I'm not going to let it direct me to say something that I'll regret later. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to acknowledge that that thought is there. And I'm going to say, this is my call for love. This is my call for God. This is my call for love. This is my call for God regarding you. I got this deep call for love regarding my dad. I got this deep call for love regarding my mama. I got this deep call for love regarding my partner. I got this deep call for love regarding this part of my life that I'm upset about. I got this deep call for love in my body called this disease or this illness or whatever is going on. It is my call for help. It is my call for God. It is my prayer. It is my prayer. And I can't feel guilty about praying. Don't feel guilty about praying all day. It sounds like a really crappy prayer. You know? You know, it's like,
that's deep.
Yeah. It's deep. It's deep, but it's true. But it's true. It's true. Don't judge yourself for the way you pray. Sometimes the deepest prayer that you can give takes the form of, like, you being in traffic and it comes out like this. That's a prayer. How many of y'all been prayed to? A lot of times. I remember a guy who had road rage with me one day. He was like tripping. I guess I did something that he didn't like, and he was just tripping and stuff, you know. So I pulled over to the side. He pulled over behind me. And so then he got out of his car. I did pull in over. Most of the time when people give us the finger, we deserve it. Let's be honest. We probably have done something. Okay. And so he came up, hey, did you see it? I said, man, you were right. You were good. Okay. Protecting my ego, no telling what would happen. You see what I'm saying? But because I didn't protect my ego, he didn't have anywhere to go. He didn't have anywhere to go. So, I want to invite you to come to the seminar we're doing Saturday from 10 to 6. It's going to be off the hook, and it has nothing to do with just romantic relationships. It's full of the truth. Yeah. Then he's undermining the whole defense system. Yeah. There's no point in me giving Earl a hard time to make him forget the truth if he's going to use the hard time to make him remember the truth. So I'm going to stop giving him a hard time to make him forget the truth. I'm going to start giving him a good time to make him forget the truth. Yeah.
Because he'll get so caught up in his playing and the fulfillment of his fantasies that he'll forget what created the cool stuff to begin with. And that's the most common way that I see people drop off the path. Yeah. Not when things are going crappy, but when things start to work. The first thing they don't have time for anymore is their study. That's the first thing that gets thrown. Because now I'm out here in the effect. And I'm enjoying the effect of all this work I've been doing. So I'm no longer going to invest in what caused it to begin with. So don't fall for that trick. Don't fall for that trick. You're going to be tempted first by challenges. And then you're going to be tempted by so much cool stuff that you won't have time enough to focus on the truth anymore. Or the best distraction of all, a special love with the number one distraction of all time. Yes. I can fall in love. And once I do that, my sanity is gone. It's all about me being special, and it's all about this person that's going to fulfill me and make up for what everybody else did not do before them. And now they get all of my attention because now I'm going to get my feeling of self-worth from them. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Hello.
Hello. All right, so CDs of the class are available. And so all you do is this is a prepaid $5 deal, and I'll make the CD and bring it next week. Thank you for sharing. I'm going to do a love offering. Thank you for sharing. Thank you so much. I appreciate acknowledgement. I really do. I really, really do. Keith, you want to tell them about your art showing?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, y'all, I want y'all to hear me. Thank you for sharing. I do this full time. It's how I earn a living in the world. So thank you for sharing with me. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I really do.
You're not very good at this, but I don't like it.
Totally awesome. Totally awesome. Awesome. You are awesome. And here's the saying that we're going to go out with.
incredible.